Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Alchemy of Light broadcast. I'm Jamil Graham. I'm your host, and Alchemy of Light is focusing on the celebration and exploration of consciousness. And today, I'm very excited to welcome a very special person, Ukumbwa Sauti, who is a whole person. He is an initiated elder and in the West African Dagara tradition and is also integrated in our modern society in a way that complements his spiritual reality. This is my experience of him, and his wisdom is great. And I'm so grateful that he's chosen to participate and share with us his teachings. And hello, Ukumbwa. Welcome.
Hello, how are you, Jamil? Thank you so much. I really appreciate you asking me to be here.
Oh, I'm so grateful. I'm happy to bring you to all of the good people. And we met just briefly at the 1111 celebration.
Yes, exactly.
And yeah, you share with me a great deal of your wisdom. And I would, so this is a series, a two-part series. Today we're going to talk about personal care and being of service to ourselves. And on the 29th of January, the next broadcast in 2 weeks will be world care, being of service in the world. And so I thank you for being a part of this. And I want to let you tell us what you know. And please introduce yourself and let's begin.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate it. And again, I'm very honored to be here and to speak with you and to all who are here to listen and ready to listen. I really thank you all very, very much. And yeah, in the interest of introducing myself, I would just like to say again, yes, I have been initiated in the Dagara tradition from West Africa, a spiritual and cultural tradition out of Burkina Faso, based on the work of Maladoma Somme here in the West, who is a shaman and healer from that area of the world. And so, you know, I've been working as a diviner, numerologist, and spiritual counselor for a number of years now, and doing other kinds of work, you know, card readings and different things, in addition to being a teacher and instructor. You know, working in video production and media studies, which I call cultural media studies, you know, allowing us to, you know, talk about, you know, the effects of media on people and how it relates to our interpersonal behaviors and our, you know, connections with the world. But the spiritual work that I do and the spiritual medicine that I work with is a very important container for all of that and really helps to unlock the intelligence, if you will, of the universe and other people to, you know, allow for some deep connections and deep understandings to come and deeper ways of working with people and with the world around me, the environmental world around us.
And how do you see the universe in your everyday world? And perhaps that could be a good segue to how the teachings of Dagara integrate into your reality of the universe.
Right. Yeah, thank you. Well, I see that as a real unitary expression. I see it as an expression of oneness, the universe with all of its diversity. I see that there's a harmony that is created by that unity, a harmony between all things, harmony between all people. You know, everything works together in this very complex, if you will, very complex systems of interrelatedness, of temperature, of energy, of speed, of density. You know, we could you know, go chapter and verse with all the scientific concepts, but usually scientific concepts fall short of understanding the unseen things where, you know, in many ways they're beginning to understand, if you will, the magic in the spaces, the divinity in the spaces between the material particles. They're beginning to understand that, and I would say they're coming to it late, you know, because indigenous people have always understood the oneness of the universe and through their spiritual traditions, you know, one of which is the Dagara tradition, We understand that unity, and through that understanding of the unity of all things in the universe, we understand when imbalance gets created. You know, we can understand much more deeply when disease and disharmony, you know, becomes created. And the systems that do that to us and against us, if you will. So you know, again, that view of the universe is as one unitary living being, living spiritual reality and physical reality and emotional reality, that again, you know, has some very powerful ways of expressing itself.
And would you like to share with us some of the ways that you take care of yourself in maintaining your spiritual integrity? Or maybe that's start with how we might, some of the basic tools that we might use for or develop in ourselves. Maybe a little bit of your story of how you developed the understanding of the universe. Was it with you all of your life? Did you have a point where suddenly you realized there was more? Perhaps if you could share with us a little bit about how your consciousness has integrated the universe as one and all of us interconnected in your path.
Right. Well, thank you. I would have to say that consciousness was with me all the time, as it is with everyone. But actually, we don't connect to that consciousness, to that information, if you will, to that knowing, without certain kinds of supports in the world. And many times that comes from a communal kind of support that allows us. And ultimately, there's an information function there that allows us to understand the things that are impacting us in the world, that our body feels, that our gut feels, that we feel in our bones. These things are always affecting us. And so when we grow up in a society that does not access that, that does not have a culture of understanding that oneness, understanding the interrelationship of all of these subtle and powerful energies, we find ourselves, you know, alienated from ourselves, you know, in our own bodies. We find ourselves alienated from the people around us and from the natural world, also in the world of spirit. So actually, part of that process was actually, you know, growing up in the Roman Catholic Church and you know, having a number of different experiences of you know, kind of, if you will, kind of really essential kinds of clashes with what I knew to be true in my bones and what was correct, you know, in the world. You know, there obviously are many lessons within that tradition about egalitarianism and things like that. But, you know, one of the things that led me away from that was just that I did not see the people within that, at least, you know, in my experience, the people that were in that tradition, in a way living the communal and the, if you will, the divine mandates that, you know, that tradition had called for. So, you know, I left that with the help of a new friend in college that, you know, helped me to question some of those conceptions, you know, that I'd grown up with. But coming out of that, you know, I started to understand my connection to my own Africanity, to my, you know, to my history, to my heritage and culture, things like that. So I started to look in those directions. It seemed like a very grounded way to go about and, you know, as part of the, you know, in political and social movements of the 70s, and before the 60s, you know, that legacy had, you know, led me more comfortably in that direction. So those things really helped me to look at some of the indigenous cultural practices of Africa and also to look at some of the indigenous Native American concepts and how they connected to the world. And there became, you know, very apparent that there was this kind of communal sense that really made sense, that really, you know, as I understood, you know, humans to be communal beings, you know, when I started to see these resonances in the expressions, cultural expressions and spiritual expressions of indigenous people, it really, you know, made sense beyond sense. It wasn't just in my brain, which is just a part of me. You know, it made sense in my body, in my bones, in my gut. It made sense emotionally, you know. And I even remember at one point I was doing some political work. There was a vigil in New York City at one point. They had uncovered during a construction project, an African burial ground. And so, you know, a number of us went there to hold vigil there in support of the spirits of the ancestors who had been buried there and in the, you know, culture of African African history, or I should say the history of African culture here on Turtle Island, which we now call the United States. But at one point during that vigil, one of the people on the other side of the fence, you know, because this is all fenced off, some people could go inside, handed me a piece of dirt. They asked me if I would like to have some of the soil, and upon placing that in the palm of my hand, I broke into tears, and I had a visceral experience of the spiritual reality that is expressed in ancestral presence, and that also had been, you know, imbued in that soil. You know, and in that moment, I understood beyond what my brain could even comprehend many, many things that could not be, you know, communicated in books, you know, and was beyond, in a sense, the scientific realm of, well, does this make sense? You know, can my meter or, you know, measure what just happened there? So, you know, in learning to trust my body and my emotions and seeing how that resonated with the historical realities that I was learning, you know, it was a real powerful lesson in the real power that lies in the spiritual realm, and how that connects to the physical world around us, which, you know, in many ways, if not always, gets expressed in the cosmological system of the Dagara, which I carry with me now. So, you know, that in short, you know, just kind of says that there were many more steps than that, but those are mm-hmm. some key points along that way that led me in the path to where I am today.
And how do you, from that sense of mm-hmm. knowing the spirit around you, the feeling mm-hmm. in your body, the mm-hmm. tears, the knowing, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How do you take that knowledge then of all around you and find that in yourself? Is there, mm-hmm. you feel it in your body,
okay? Yeah.
And there's a place that it's communicating to you, somewhere yeah. there's an acknowledgement or words yeah. come or something comes. But what is that place in you, do you think? As this today, we're focused on self-care. So self, where is that mm-hmm. self in that mm-hmm. connection? Is it mm-hmm. is it in all of them? Is it in your emotions more? Mm-hmm. Is it, where do you find that sense of spirit in yourself that's looking mm-hmm. out and taking in?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would have to say yes to all of the above. Again, because it comes from the unitary concept of the universe. And when we talk about a unitary concept of the universe, we understand that humans are a part of that, and you know, therein lies, you know, the basis of a lot of the expressions of indigenous culture around not being able to, in a sense, easily, you know, disrupt the balance of nature or to, you know, do things that would desecrate nature or to create environmental degradation, things like that. But likewise, you know, so There are all these things going on in the human body, spirit, mind, intellect, that are actually working in unison. And many times, you know, especially growing up in industrialized modern culture, we are taught to, you know, this reductionist way of looking at the world and this separatist way of looking at the world that, well, you know, you can, you know, take care of your body, but, you know, don't express your emotions right here, you know. You know, don't express your emotions in church, you know, that kind of thing, because that doesn't have any, you know, there's no place for that there. And again, when we start to disconnect these different parts of ourselves, just like when we start to disconnect parts of nature, you know, because these same forces live within us as without us, we see the negative things that start to happen. We see the stagnation. We see the blockages, which is ultimately the disease, you know, which causes pain in the body and causes pain in the earth. So there are multiple ways of knowing this and seeing these things. So, you know, again, you know, these feelings that we have, you know, even, you know, those who may not have the consciousness of the Dagara cosmology feel these kinds of things. They might go into a business meeting and really feel a sense of dread, which they've been told is just, oh, these meetings are boring. and you just need to get through it. But they don't understand, you know, they may not be able to intellectualize the thing that they feel inside their body, that this is not a place that they should be. This is not a healthy place, where the practices of that corporation are not healthy practices for the earth or for people around them. They're not actually taking care of people or the communal nature of humanity. So there are many things that are, you know, kind of fighting each other inside of us, unless we start again to look at all of these things as one, and then we start to see where, oh, wait a minute, you know, the thing that was happening in my mind, the feeling that I was having of confusion is related to the, say, the, you know, the nausea that's in my stomach, which is the same expression that's in my spiritual confusion, you know, around something. And when we start to understand those things, we start to, you know, we can say, oh, wait a minute, I am feeling this in my body. Wait a minute, what is the spiritual corollary to this? You know, what is the relationship of the, you know, the other aspects of me, and how does it express itself so that I can not only understand it better and know it better, but that I can remedy it better and that I can maintain these balances over time.
And how do you connect your nature experience? There, I feel very clearly humanity is in a place of obvious disconnect from nature. And for so many reasons and so on, that's many hours of, you know, how and why and what has brought us to this place. But bottom line is, we are disconnected from the natural world. We know what clouds look like anymore is a mystery to us. Our connection to the sea and the creatures that live in it, the frogs, the sound of frogs, the where the wind is blowing, everything is, and I see that reflecting ultimately in our ability to perpetuate war. And that to me is like the ultimate disconnect from nature, that a human kills a human indiscriminately is to me the ultimate expression of disconnect in nature. So we have a tall order when we, those things you're saying, that, you know, your conscience is not aligned, your stomach is turning, you know, there's more than that. This meeting is dreadful. You know that spiritual message is there, and you know that you're operating in this disparate way, and you know that, you know, you probably should do something, but you don't know what to do. You know, and so how do you start that, or how do you begin that, and what would be some of the tools that you learn in the Dagara tradition to stay connected to nature and to grow nature in us, even though it's counterculture? It's not counterintuitive.
Right.
You know, it's not counterintuitive at all to be concerned about people and to be concerned about the well-being of your environment and to want the best for everybody. Those are not counterintuitive, but they are counterculture.
Right.
They appear to be against, you know, what we're supposed to do, but it's actually what we want to do. So how do, and I feel like the bridge is this reconnection.
Right. Exactly. It is a reconnection. It's a radical reconnection, you know, because oftentimes the things that we want to do, if we're really connecting to our intuition, the things that we want to do are actually the things we need to do. And if we follow that intuition, you know, go with those inner knowings, you know, those knowings that are beyond the brain again, you know, because it's not our brain that kicks in all you know, at the first point, you know, it's our gut, it's our spirit, it's the energetic that we put out, you know, into the world that is sensing all of the things. You know, this is what the body we've been given, just like the earth senses all the thing that's around it, you know, so when we sense these things, and actually, when we go into that, one of the things we can do is to just go further. You know, just go further. Take that next step every once in a while, or commit to taking that next step, and allow yourself the bravery to go beyond the cultural message, this modern cultural message, which says, "Oh, don't worry about it. the churning in your gut can be fixed with that pink liquid in the bottle in the drugstore. You know, no, go with that. Sit with that feeling, but go with, you know, where your gut is telling you to move. And oftentimes when we go in that direction and say we go and meet that call for us to look into, you know, the compassion that we're having for someone else's situation, whether it be someone on the street or someone that we, you know, people that we're hearing about in Haiti or Bolivia or you know, around the corner, you know, or New Orleans, you know, in our own, say, national borders. You know, once we start to do that and we start to see where the culture will then throw barriers in the way of actually getting there, you know, and oftentimes they're monetary, you know, sometimes they're geographical, things like that. Well, you know, there's time, you got to work, you're busy. Once we start to go toward that compassion, toward that place of intuition, we start to see where the barriers are, and then we can start to identify, oh, wait a minute, when my gut is telling me to go here, that's the right thing to do, but these are the things that are stepping in the way. Ah, these are the sources of disease. These are the sources that actually caused me to even think that I needed to have some chemical from outside my body to fix my body. And actually, something that's just going to fix my body is not a complete fix anyway. The thing that actually did the damage in the first place is the thing that needs to change. So, you know, greater balance has to come from the systems around us. You know, in the communal concept, you know, the communal relationships around us, in the structural relationships of our culture, that can really help to seat the healing in all of us. And actually, yes, that is a tall order, you know, because often, you know, when we talk about personal care, it cannot just come down to something where, you know, where we read this book and or we, you know, go to this seminar, and it just tells us that, well, you know, these are the ways that you can just do it for yourself. Now, that works until you leave the house, you know, because now we're coming up against these other energies who are also in need of healing, who are also in need of balance and reharmonizing not only with themselves, but with you, with the community around them and with nature as a whole. So we're always going to be in a situation where we're in the need of engaging each other at a higher communal level, really understanding what community is. And once we do that, we start to understand what the balances are within ourselves. That's one of the gifts that the Dagara cosmology gives to us. You know, through understanding the five elements in nature outside of us, we can begin to understand the five elements of nature inside of us. And we can begin to see where disease comes from and where the imbalance comes from and apply that into things in our world, so that we're actually creating a world that not only resonates for us personally, but resonates for our family, our loved ones, our partners, the people around us, our pets, you know, the spirit of the house that we live in, the spirit of the land that we live on, and that gives us everything that we have, the spirit of the water and of nature around us, the stones that are underneath us, you know, the backbone of the earth. All these things we start to resonate in a way that, again, resonates a harmonious level that actually helps to create life. We haven't even begun to tap into the abundance of what the world has to offer if we don't understand the interrelatedness of all things. Once we do, it's an amazing party that can happen after that. And you know, being in, you know, within a certain context of spiritual and cultural medicine, you can begin to see what the future holds, the real positive flow that the future holds ahead in time.
Would you please share with us the five elements of Dagara? And this might be a tall order, but however it might flow, share with us the elements, how we perceive them on the inside of us as well as the outside of us, and even if there's an example of how it might manifest, you know, in an event or something, to really get a sense of what that looks like.
Right. Thank you. Yeah, and again, you know, all of these things, these five elements, are helpful because they do exactly what you're saying. You know, they do help us to understand not only things that are happening, you know, within us, but also without, you know, outside of us. And so there's this, again, this real connection that can happen when we understand these things. And again, this is one of the traditions in the world, but many of them are again, harmonious with the system. It's so interesting when we talk about world unity and world peace and things like that. You know, we can look to the indigenous world, you know, not that it's, you know, completely, you know, perfect or anything like that, but we look to systems that have ways of understanding the world that are actually in harmony with each other because they're dealing with the same natural world. You know, even though they deal with different, you know, phenomenon around the world, but we have those same kind of concepts. So, you know, so that's where, again, the genius of these things kinds of lies.
Yeah, I was reflecting. I'll just interrupt just briefly. Yeah, was just reflecting today, walking on the beach, how it was such a short time ago, a very, very short time ago, just a few hundred years, when this Turtle Island was full of people and life. It was teeming with life and the indigenous balance of humanity in nature was here. It was so recent. Exactly what you're saying about the indigenous kind of life. Everything has its things that are positive and need to be improved and so on. But the harmony of living as one with the planet is a very real and tangible lesson that we don't really have to look that hard to remember, you know.
So
please continue, though. The five elements are very important. And
Yeah, without a doubt, and actually getting into that, you know, actually, unluckily, it's a little bit further than 100 years back, though many people are still holding these traditions. You know, I was just watching, you know, a documentary, Blue Gold, World Water Wars, based on a book by Tony Clark and Maud Barlow, and it had a map in it that showed, you know, the virgin forests in the world, and they were showing Turtle Island, you know, North America, and, you know, it had this, you know, mainly green, you know, a picture graphic of the continent, and then it went to what it's now, and it went almost completely white. You know, now it doesn't mean that there aren't other forests around, but again, they're not the virgin forests. The ones that were there originally were massively cutting them down and creating imbalance in the environment. So, and literally, we're burning it all up. And we're, you know, this fire-dominated society is all about consumption, is all about, you know, in a sense, the spark of initiation and let's get this done, let's get that done. And actually, you know, that, you know, leads us to that first, you know, element in the cosmology of fire, you know, which in the Dagara language we call it Vun. But that element of fire is one of, you know, instinct and initiative, leadership, if you will. You know, there's a warrior energy there. And, you know, if we have a fire-dominated society, we have a very war-oriented and consumption-oriented society. So even in that short, you know, explanation of that concept, we can see where, oh, wait a minute, that is exactly where we're at. We're literally eating up, consuming everything. You know, fire thrives on chaos. You know, you throw a bundle of sticks on a fire and it just loves it. You know, it's just like, oh my goodness, let's burn this up. Let me find the next bit of fuel. Let me find the next bit of fuel. Let me find the next country to take some natural resources from. And we can tell that there are fiery people around us. Oftentimes they're the ones that get, promoted to be, you know, team leaders and things like that. And they will get things done. They will be that warrior energy to be that leadership, but they may not be, you know, taking care of people. They may not be providing that compassionate kind of look at the effects of what's going on. And that's exactly where we're at with the dominant culture in this society, and indeed in all capitalist societies around the world, industrial societies. There's a sense of, oh, I need to, you know, extend myself out. I need to go and get more resources. I need more fuel. All the time needing more fuel. So, you know, there's this real sense of getting burnt out. You know, plenty of people feel burnt out. So we know that we're really fire imbalanced, you know, which also means water imbalanced, you know, because water is the complement of that. But before I move on from fire, again, one of the things that that fire is a portal for the ancestors. And it's really important for us to, you know, from the Dagara perspective, to connect to our ancestors. It's one of the ways of creating balance in the world, because we're connecting with spiritual entities that actually we're familiar with, you know. Mm-hmm. And this is, again, a concept that is almost universal in though expressed in different ways, in indigenous society all over the globe, where there's some kind of connection to the ancestral continuum, as I call it, that mm-hmm. we live as an expression of the ancestors who came before us, and that we enter that continuum when we pass on, and we go into that spiritual energy and then can be a resource for people that are still in the physical world. So fire in the Dogra cosmology is a portal for the ancestors, and, you know, expressed in the color red. And so, you know, it's very important for us to connect with our ancestors, and many times our ancestors are actually trying to connect with us. And it's also been said, Maladoma has said very, very eloquently that, you know, one of the things that has fueled this fire, very, very clearly is that we are not connecting with our ancestors. So they're trying to get in touch with us in ways that may not, you know, seem harmonious to us, but they're actually trying to get our attention, that the explosion in violence that is happening in these kinds of societies is really part and parcel of the ancestral call to get our attention, to come back to the balance of spirit, come back to the balance of our bodies in relationship to nature, which they are expressed in now. You know, they've gone into that place of divinity beyond the physical world, and we can access them through the spiritual technologies that the Dogra system and other indigenous societies teach us. So again, that's the element of fire. You know, so there's this real consumptive energy, but a real powerful balancer for that is water. And again, you know, as expressed in the documentary Blue Gold, they were talking about the privatization of water and how damaging that is. You know, even the concept of bottled water, you know, the commodification of that element is actually a fire function. You know, it's like, I, you know, we can sell that, we can move it, we can, you know, own it, all these kinds of things, you know. Water wars, you know, what is that? That's bringing fire to water. So it's actually water that is a thing that helps us to come back to a place of unity and balance and peace and focus, helps us to connect to our emotions. You know, the gift of tears, you know, that comes out of us, that's deeply connected to the spirit of Kwan, you know, the water spirit. So there's so much about the element of water that is very important for us to connect to now. And 2011 is a water year in the Dogra cosmology, so that there's a heightened energy of water, and of that energy in this year, in this calendar year. But it's all about, you know, the slowing down, the quietude, the calming, the reconciliation, you know, being able to see the balance between two things and actually reconcile some of the differences that happen not only within our villages or communities or societies, but the things inside of us, you know, the things like where we might have a problem with our spouse, you know, having water in the environment, actually physically bringing it into the environment can help a sense of calm and peace into our relationships with our not only our spouses and partners, but in our communities, you know, just to resonate that energy of water is a very powerful thing, and is one of the most powerful things that can be healing for us in this time, in this very fire imbalanced time. So, you know, that concept of grief and emotions can, you know, is expressed through this energy of water. And you know, we have to understand, though, that, you know, when boys and men are told that they can't cry, you know, and that's not manly, which of course it is, it's very manly to cry, to be honest and brave and be, you know, very open with your emotions, that's the essence of manhood, if you will. But but that's not what we're told. So we're being asked as men to deny that water energy in us. So what's going to come up? This fire energy, this violence, this imbalance again in our bodies that says we, you know, need to go out and be conquerors in our own small and large ways. You know, and we see it in the male-dominated structures, you know, corporate structures and government structures of the world. So I'm sure, you know, many people can understand how they fit into that, you know, and they see being told, you know, to go to jobs that don't even make sense, whereas no one ever said, hey, wait a minute, let's slow down and see what your actual gifts to the world are right now and see what you have to offer and what's best, you know, what's the best resonance place for you to be in your society. What's your real path, you know? So that's really powerful right now.
Mm.
Yeah. One of the other, you know, elements is the element of earth, and expressed in the feminine aspect of Timbalu and the masculine aspect of Tingan. But this earth element is very much about grounding and home, you know, of identity, you know, not only self-identity, but the identity of a nation, if you will, the identity of a village or a community, and this connection to abundance and actually being seen, being touched, you know, taken care of and nurtured. And we can clearly see, again, you know, that many people are touch-starved. You know, many people are if you will, starved for being seen for who they really are. You know, again, mm-hmm. we're being pushed through the world so quickly. And you know, mm-hmm. even through college and through, you know, grade school and through our work world and even through, you know, meetings and things like that, that, wait a minute, when do we actually take time to see each other, to hold each other in each other's embrace, to really connect with the physicality of each other and in beautiful ways, you know, in really supportive and harmonious ways, to really express the compassion that is us. That's the thing that the earth does for us. The earth gives to us, each of us, freely and equally. But it wasn't until, again, modern, you know, capitalist society came along and said, well, no, we need to take more of this because that's in our national interest. Or, you know, we need, you know, more of the water, or you know, we're going to control the water because we want to, you know, have, you know, hold political and other military and cultural power over you. Those kinds of things.
Even a price on food.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Right. The things that people need the most are the things that actually, you know, they're coming to commodify, you know, which, again, this documentary said very clearly around water, but it also enlarged that to say it was about food, too. And it's about the systems and structures that create the situation in which somebody can walk into another country and say, I own your water, or I own your land, or I own everything in it, you know, that they can send a fly over a plane that can figure out underneath the ground how much, you know, what kinds of natural resources you have. And then they show up, you know, trying to make a deal through the World Trade Organization or the IMF or the World Bank. And then we start mm-hmm. to see, oh, wait a minute, this is not only how we got dispossessed of our land, but this is how we got dispossessed of our bodies. Mm-hmm. We're not even in control of our own bodies. We're handing that over to an HMO or to a doctor that doesn't know us except for 15 minutes. Hopefully not very often. We hope we never see them. But we're in this situation where we're beholden to other people who think they know something more about our body than we do. There's all these kinds of situations where doctors tell you, oh, no, that feeling you're having is not this, it's that. You know, it's like, wait a minute, again, we're going against our gut, but we're going against the knowing that is in our body, and we're going against that connection to the earth energy within us. So not only are we disconnected from our own earth body, but we're disconnected from the body of the earth itself. And again, that can be a problem.
Hmm.
And it's a very serious problem. You know, when we talk about Earth Day, you know, and we see how sometimes that gets expressed, and yes, it's a beautiful thing to have Earth Day, but actually every day is Earth Day. We always have to be in consciousness of what the earth is about and what it's offering us and to live in balance with it.
Does the earth hold more of a significance in the five elements? Because it seems that the earth then would be especially connected to water and fire and the other two, because it's holding all of them. And if it's literally the expression in our physical body, does it hold more significance in some way in the Dogara tradition?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I wouldn't say that it holds more of a significance, but we have to understand the gravity of any of the elements and literally, and you know, that may be a kind of a pun, but the gravity of the earth is very, very serious. In the cosmological wheel, it's actually at the center of the wheel and the other elements are around it. And as we create balance on any side of that wheel, we create a deeper grounding. If we have imbalance on the outside of the wheel, the more that we ground, the more we give ourselves the opportunity to bring balance to these other areas. So the earth energy is very, very key. You know, if we give up that sense of self, that sense of consciousness of our own bodies, that sense of consciousness of the earth underneath our feet, we've really lost a lot. We've we become homeless, you know, and we become spiritual wanderers who can be told to do anything and go anywhere at any time for any reason. And I don't even have to tell you how many times over that gets expressed in the world around us in these modern times, where we feel just taken away, ungrounded. Yes, you know, water without grounding is water that disperses. You know, water needs the earth to hold it in a container, and to, you know, guide it and give it a path. You know, the nature element needs the earth within it to root and to grow fruit for us, and to be the, you know, the multi-point balance, the transformative energy that it is. You know, that next element actually in the cosmology is mineral or stone and bone, that gets expressed in the term kusir, you know, for the mineral spirit. And actually that's the backbone of the earth, you know. It's also mountain energy. And so, you know, we can see where, you know, this mountain topping that they're doing to get the coal out of the earth and all these other minerals that they're pulling out of the earth is actually such a negative thing. And it's actually the element that governs or controls or influences our own memory, our own, you know, ability to tell stories, to communicate. You know, it's about data and information, but it's also about this deep knowing in our bones. When we disrespect the mineral, the kusir energy, spirit inside of us, we lose our memory. You know, we don't even remember what we're supposed to do. And actually, you know, knowing that that's the backbone of the earth, we understand that it is that which gives us our purpose, you know, that element. So, you know, again, many times if we're ungrounded, you know, then we don't have that structural, you know, kusir mineral energy activated within us, or that we're not connected to that. You know, we can be walking aimlessly because we're not knowing our purpose. Or, you know, we can be an accountant when we're supposed to be a gardener, you know, and one is not better than the other. But if you're supposed to be a gardener, if you're supposed to be working with nature energy, with the plants and you know, the herbal realities of the world, you know, you're out of resonance with who you're supposed to be on this earth. And the kusir energy, you know, the power centers of, you know, and again, of those mountains are very representative of that energy. You know, oftentimes we may do a mineral ritual, a kusir ritual, to go to the top of a mountain to really engage with our purpose, to really engage with the reason that we're here, to connect to what we're supposed to be doing in the world. So, you know, again, mountain topping is representative of modern societies taking that away from us. You know, Alzheimer's disease can be, you know, said to be an imbalance in that spiritual energy of kusir. You know, people who forget everything around them, and they're right in that same environment. You know, it's not just a chemical imbalance or a physical imbalance. It's a spiritual imbalance, you know, which we've yet to really engage in a communal way. So again, this kusir energy we can see in balance with other things, not only with earth, but, you know, with these other elements.
I can see there a connection to fire, the ancestors, and connecting to our purpose. If we're we're disconnected from our communion with our spiritual guides and the ancestors and the path that we're walking forward now, then that would, and then to have the challenge of mountain topping, the whole oppression of our unique being, you know, on our levels.
Right.
I could just, and then you were talking about trying to connect with purpose is, well, yeah, because we're not getting our mail, people.
Right, exactly. We're getting all kinds of bits and bytes out of the computer, and we're you know, got all kinds of storage capabilities and all that kind of stuff, and actually that's all based on silica, which is a mineral, you know. So again, you know, we understand how it expresses itself physically, but again, we're not connecting with that in our own, you know, corporeal or esoteric ways, in the spiritual way. We're giving it all over to the machine. We're saying, you know, my computer can remember everything I need to know. I don't need to go outside and touch, you know, the air. I don't need to touch the earth to know what season it is. Let me check in with GPS to figure out where I'm going. I don't need to look at the landmarks of the earth or feel the energy of the area that I'm in. You know, we're being called not even to connect with the data that nature is giving us. You know, and a computer cannot reproduce in any size file what nature has given us and the divine energy of the Creator and all these elements and all these spiritual entities that have given us. And again, I do appreciate, you know, you talking about the connection between the ancestors as an ancestral memory. You know, this is part of what the Kusir energy is about, you know, is being able to tap into those things, you know, these conversations that we had in the other world with the other ancestors when they sent us to, you know, when we said, okay, I'm coming into the physical realm to get this work done, to bring balance to the world. You know, if we don't connect with the right energies and the right communal spiritual connections, you know, we're not going to have the support we need to do what we need to do. So there's a lot around the self-care of connecting to these elements, connecting to our bodies, connecting to nature. That's really about us bringing us back into balance fully. The fifth element is nature itself, expressed in the name Wiye. And, you know, as the expression actually in the cosmology was the last element to be created and to be developed. And really it is an expression or a container of a lot of these other elements and forces. But it's an element that's really about authenticity, about manifestation. You know, if we want to see something manifest, let's look to nature. Let's see nature take care of business. Let's see nature create through its own magic the healing and the balance that we need in the world. Everything that we need, in a sense, comes from nature. You know, when we mess with that energy, we're in some big trouble. But hey, you know, ding, 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 that's where we are right now. You know, modern society's been messing with nature, has been messing with the grounding underneath our feet, disconnecting us from this grounding, you know, whether it's shoes or cars or, you know, sidewalks, paved sidewalks and whatever, and they all serve their purpose at one point. But when we do them out of balance with, you know, the necessity to connect to these elements, then we have this imbalance. So our ability to transform and to actually enter into this place where there are no veils, where there's no, you know, lack of clarity, you know, around who we are and what we're here to do and what we do. You know, it's the ultimate, you know, if you will, you know, going through all these elements, you know, we come back to, you know, it's all a cycle. Everything's a circle. You know, nature loves circles, you know. So,
yeah, everything, yeah.
Right, you know. So, you know, we come into this element of nature and we really start to come into ourselves, you know, our own concept of our own nature, you know, our own true nature as humans, as spiritual beings on this earth, and as one, you know, with all our relations, as the Native Americans say here in Turtle Island, you know, all our relations, the ants, the toads, the eagles, the condors, the, you know, the deer, the skunks, the possum, the gnat, you know, we are one and we are in, you know, intimate, complex, beautiful, harmonious relationship with all these beings, with the wind, with the trees, with the plants, with the dandelions. You know, it's so interesting that we have these gigantic industries set up to kill the very things in our lawn that can revitalize the blood, you know, be a tonic for our full system, let alone all the myriad numbers of plants that are out there, you know, in the world around us growing, you know, at the corners of our houses, and we don't even know what they are. We don't even know what they are. Nature's given it to us left and right, and, oh, we've got a chemical to kill that. Wait a minute. you know, or I need a lawn that has... Or I need a lawn or a farm that has no diversity. That's crazy. Nature doesn't do that. You know, you know, the monster Santos of the world. You know who I'm talking about.
I know Monsanto. Yeah. We all know Monsanto.
Well,
they're friends of the earth.
Right. Exactly. And we know that they're not a friend of the earth. But
we know they are our number one. Kind of all the dark roads seem to have a hand in Monsanto.
Yeah, you know.
It's fascinating to me how many of the same names and money and all that end up at Monsanto. Mm-hmm. Monsanto could be their hometown, you know.
Right. Exactly. And you know, I just read an article, I think in the New York Times, about, again, a report about farmers in India committing suicide based on the problems that are created by having to use genetically modified seeds and plants, and to use chemicals that they require, you know, generally provided by companies like Monsanto and others, where, you know, again, you know, in understanding this WEA energy, you know, we have these chemicals and these processes which are devaluing and actually killing nature. What's happening around that? We are actually killing ourselves. We're actually committing suicide, in a sense, Xing out our own nature, you know, because that's the system that we've been forced into. So there's complete, you know, resonance, unluckily a negative resonance, around many of the things that are happening in modern society and how it expresses itself in the human being and the human society.
Hmm.
It's very instructive, very, very instructive.
Hmm. Mm-hmm. We are getting close to our time, and mm-hmm. I want to offer the invitation to all of our listeners to join mm-hmm. us wherever they are in spirit, and mm-hmm. also even in the Boston area. I would like to perhaps if you would take the last minute to introduce the gratitude ceremony that happens every month, that you honor every month, and the water celebration. If you could take us into that and give us your website. And
yes, I will.
This will be the closing comment.
Got you. Thank you. Yes, well, my website is www.ukumbwa.com. That's UKUMBWA, ukumbwa.com. And again, one of the pages on that website is called Gratitude. And what that is an opportunity, they're about the gatherings of gratitude, and that's a monthly visit to nature in the Boston area, where we go and we express our gratitude, guided by indigenous knowing and traditions, to give gratitude to the spirits of nature. And this year, being a water year, we're doing that with the spirit of water. So we're actually going to be starting on January 22nd, and we meet every month we'll meet at 11 a.m. In one of these places. And on my website, I've noted all the places we'll be meeting for the year, so people can mark their calendars. And everyone's welcome to bring friends. They're always in public places. Most places, I would imagine, are wheelchair accessible, or tea accessible, or short walks from public transportation. So there's a lot of opportunity for people to come out. But one of the things that we're doing is, again, giving gratitude and making connection with nature, and this year with water, which, again, is very important for our healing in this society, personally and communally, and in all kinds of ways. So what we'll be doing is giving all kinds of offering. These things are explained on the website, but it could be in song and dance and words, in the Native American traditions, giving tobacco, or in the Dagor traditions, giving millet or cornmeal, things like that. These are all parts of the traditions of indigenous people that help people to understand the need for reciprocity. When nature and all these elements, spiritual entities, give us something, we must give something back to keep that cycle alive. Because that's how nature works. That's how water works. Water is one of our best examples of that. So if we really want to be in tune with that energy and with healing and with that reconciliation of all kinds of things in our lives and with each other, one of these, you know, the gathering of gratitude is a great place to connect with that. It is about giving, but always when we give, we get in return. And that's the connection to abundance that Kwan represents, and that, you know, that we really start to enter into when we get into this place of being about gratitude to the spiritual world, to the physical world, and to the human world. You know, when we just say thank you, you know, we're in a place of gratitude. So again, we'll be meeting at 11 a.m. on January 22nd, I'm sorry, already into summer. But we'll be meeting at the public garden, at the pond at the public garden, right by the Swan Boat boat dock there. So, people can look for me. I will probably have staff with me at the time, one of my elder staffs, and so I might be pretty easy to find in the public garden. But we're going to be meeting there, and people should be prepared to stay for about an hour or so. And there's always an opportunity for people to be in community, to connect with each other, to talk. We might be able to go out for coffee or tea or something afterwards, but it's an opportunity for people to connect, and that's one of the energies of water and that we want to be grateful for and to, bring a deeper resonance with this year and every year into the future.
Wow. Thank you so much, Akumba. And thank you all the listeners for tuning in. And please join us in spirit or in Boston to take some time out, every day, but next Saturday to say thank you to the water and to make time to be with people you resonate with who bring out your true gifts and a feeling of inner peace and calm and build the power of one in water with us next week. And then we will return 2 weeks hence on January 29th. We will continue this awesome lesson with Akumba in integrating our balancing personal being, understanding in this phenomenal time of transition and taking that service into the world. And so we look forward to continuing our conversation and take good care of yourself and good care of each other until next time. Bye-bye.